You'll figure it out, right? We'll be good. James chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the privilege of being in your house tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we can have some fun and we can do sword drills and do some of those different things. I thank you, Lord, for that. I pray now that you would help us to focus upon what you have for us tonight. Lord, I pray again that you would remove all distractions from us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the teens downstairs. Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit's anointing to be upon this place, Lord, to be upon our hearts, to be upon this pulpit, to be upon your word for our hearts and lives tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you. We'll praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you remember this morning, we talked about, or the title of, A Mountain Moving God. Ye have not because ye ask not. We said, and again, this is the second part, so that's why I'm reviewing, but if you remember, we said there's two things you got to do. First is you've got to ask. If we don't take the time to talk to God, if we don't take the time to pray about it, if we don't take the time to give it to God and give Him those things and ask for those things, we're never going to get them. And the second piece is we've got to ask in faith, believing. And then we ended this service around this question: what happens if God doesn't answer the way you ask? Why? Because the Bible says if you ask, you'll receive it. But you've got to ask with the right heart, with the right perspective. So what happens when you ask and the answer isn't what you wanted it to be? What you thought it should be? One of the questions we need to ask ourselves is your faith real or is your faith fake? You've got to ask, and you've got to ask in faith, believing, but we've got a question, we've got to challenge ourselves. Is our faith, the faith in which we ask with, is it real or is it fake? There's a lot of things in the world today that are fake. There's a lot of things today that are deceptive and the things that pull us down the wrong path. And we're going to look at that a little bit towards the end of the service, but we need to question ourselves. One of the things that I told you, a mountain moving piece that I said that I'm praying about is for instance, VBS. I'm praying that God will bring at least 100 kids. I'm praying we'll see at least 10 salvations. I'm praying that we'll see at least 20 people come to church and be part of it out of this. But you say, Pastor, what happens if that doesn't happen? Well, first of all, those are numbers I'm praying about. All right? That's not numbers God's divinely given me, but we're going to look at different ways that God answers prayer. You see, He can answer prayers in one of four different ways. The first of which we need to understand this is in verse, chapter 4 and verse 3 from James. But the first is this: God says no. God says no. Now, there's times in life when God will tell us no. The reason behind this is in James chapter 4 and verse 3. The first reason is if we're asking selfishly. It says, if ye ask amiss, God, I want to be a gajillionaire, right? Or God, I want you to give me a brand new pickup. If we're asking selfishly, if we're asking something just because we want it, not that it's a desire for our heart, we don't want it for a blessing, we don't want it for those things, it's a selfish thing, God says no. I'm not gonna work on that prideful spirit you have. I'm not gonna give you those things. That's one reason why God can and more often than not will say no. The other reason, though, and I do believe this is something where many of us fall, and I think sometimes we get discouraged and we shouldn't, is whenever it's outside of God's will for our life. God has a plan for us. We don't have a crystal ball where we see exactly the way that's going to work out in our hearts and lives. And we have things that we've prayed about. We've done it in faith and we've done it in the way that God honors and wants. And sometimes, though, it's outside of God's purview for our lives. It's outside of what God has as a plan for us. One of the questions that I get asked most often, and the people are always throwing out there, both within the church and in the unsaved world as well, is what does God have for my life? How do I know for sure I'm in God's will? And they're good questions. We need to ask those questions. We need to pray about that. Let me give you a brief example. Mrs. Graham, Billy Graham's wife, one time said this. She said, "I'm sure glad that God answers no sometimes." She said, "Because if He wouldn't, I would have married the wrong man 5 different times." right? That's an example if we're asking something outside of what God's perfect will is for our life. It may not be with a wrong attitude or with a wrong heart. It's just that God has something different for us, right? He has something different planned for us. Sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's hard, but we've got to understand that. It's not that we're in sin. It's not that we've done things wrong. It's not that we're asking an amiss, but God may have something else lined up. But here's the important piece, folks, going with what we talked about this morning. That can't stop us from continuing to ask. That can't stop us from continuing to ask for those mountain-moving things in our life. Why? Because God's got things out there for us. He has that help me. He's got that family. He's got those things, that job or whatever it might be. He's got that plan for us. Just because we ask, but if we don't ask, folks, we're never going to know. We're never going to get any closer to what God has for us. The second way that God can answer prayer is sometimes He says, slow. The first one is no. The second is slow. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." If you jump down to verse 18 in 2 Corinthians, it says, "After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Does anyone know who's talking here or what this context is? If you don't, that's okay. We'll just see how alert you are. But this is Paul. This is shortly after his conversion. Paul wanted to get started. Paul wanted to do things for God. And God says, "Paul, I'm going to make you wait. You're going to wait for 3 years. Sometimes God says slow. It's not that, you know, for instance, and I'll just share this, we'll just go off of this because we talked about it. You know, if we don't have 100 kids come to VBS, we don't have 20 new families or people join, that's okay. It might be God saying it's not the time yet. Maybe not this month or this year, but in the long term, He's still going to answer that, but He's going to do it on His timetable. You see, sometimes in life we battle this, don't we? Sometimes in life we struggle here. Why? Because we have such a mindset, and Roger talked about it last Sunday morning in Sunday school, and touched on it this Sunday morning in Sunday school, and it was good, is we are a society driven by the "I want it now." Right? The philosophy of if you've got to wait more than, you know, 2 or 3 minutes at the drive through, what's wrong with these people? You know? How could they mess up my double latte mocha frappe thing? You know, or whatever. I don't know. You know, but we have that "we want it now" mentality. We can't let that cross over into our Christian lives. Why? Because if we do, we may be pulling ourselves outside of the will of God. God may not be saying no. He may just be saying slow. He may be saying it's time. We need to take some more time around this. Maybe it's because we're not spiritually ready. We talked about spiritual famine last week. We talked about the milk of the Word. We talk about the meat of the Word and discernment and what those things are. And sometimes God might just say, "You're not ready for that. You still got to work through a few other things first before I answer that." We've got to understand. The third way that God will answer prayer is through grow. Through grow. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, I'm going to have you turn to a few verses this evening, but God wants to see us grow. He wants to see our lives grow. He wants to see our faith grown. I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it because it's so important for us to understand. This morning I said the words this. I said, faith is not a static thing. It needs to grow. Our Christian life isn't a static thing. You can't put your Christian life in park and expect good things to happen. In our Christian life, we're going one of two directions. One of two directions. We're either getting closer to Christ or we're backsliding away from Him. God wants us to see our faith grow. He wants to see us grow in Him. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God." Asking in faith, believing, this will grow our faith by asking. Folks, if we don't ask in faith, believing, and we're going to touch on this tonight because we talked about it a lot this morning, if we're not asking in faith, believing, our faith is never going to grow. If we don't put ourselves out there for God and say, "God, I want to see You move this mountain in my life. I'm asking You in faith, believing. I'm begging You. I want to see this happen. Not for my selfish needs or desire, but I want to see Your kingdom furthered." He wants to see our faith grow. And folks, our faith needs to grow. We need to have that as a desire of our heart. We need to have that as within the root, the basis of who and what we are. The fourth way that God will answer prayer is this, is very simply, go. Go. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Multiple times in that verse it says, we know, we know, we know. You see, if God wants us to do something, He's going to open those doors if we're doing it in faith believing. God answers prayers and He does it amazingly. How many have ever had God answer a prayer amazingly? Right? I can tell you different times in my life, and I won't go through them right now, but there's been different times in my life, and this is where I try to rely on myself, where there's a problem. Maybe it's at work, or maybe it's with a family or a friend, and in my mind, I've played out every plausible scenario. Right? There's a problem, something's happening, and I play out, well, if I do this or say this, then they'll say this, or if I do this, then they'll say this, and man, I play out every single scenario in my mind. And finally, I say, all right, Lord, I gotta give this to You. Right? I should have done that at the beginning, but I do it later than I should have. And then when things actually happen, man, the Lord just works it out so much more beautifully than I ever could have imagined. Right? He works it out and He answers that prayer and He takes care of that need in a way that I couldn't have ever fathomed on my own. It was none of my scenarios. It was none of my plans, but it was always God's plan. Sometimes God says go, but it's not always according to our plan. In the end, His plan is always better than ours. There's a story I want to share with you around this, and it really paints a beautiful picture. Dr. Gibbs, he's someone that I hold very near and dear, Christian Law Association. I've shared different things from him before, but he shared this story with me one day, and it never. My life was never the same after. It touched me in such a way. His mother contracted polio when he was just a boy, 10, 11, 12 years old, young man. And one morning she was fixing breakfast for the family about 5 a.m. And she said, "Go get your father. I think I'm really, really sick." And before she could say much else, she walked into the living room and she collapsed. Her hands begin to shake, and understand, she was the church pianist. She had been conservatory trained. She had gone to Juilliard. And those hands, which were trained in such a manner to play, and she didn't love to, they were never going to play another key again. She almost died right there in the living room. As she was there, and they called the EMTs, and they came, they said, "We don't know if she's going to make it. You better say goodbyes now." This was something that just a few moments before, mom was cooking breakfast. And now they didn't know if they were going to see her again. You fast forward, she wouldn't return home for almost 3 years. 2 years after they took her to the hospital, they were finally, David was actually able to go as a young boy and his sister to be able to see mom in the hospital. But polio was such a virus in which they were afraid. There was a window in between. And it had speakers on both sides. You see, mom was living in an iron lung. She couldn't do anything for herself. She had no motor function from the neck down. She couldn't do anything other than speak and breathe. As they wheeled her iron lung over to the window, she said, "Would you move my head so I can see my kids?" In David's mind, he's thinking, "God, why'd you do this? This is mom. She played the piano. She loved us. She took care of us. And now she can't even move her neck." As they moved her head to where she could look at her children through the window, the first words out of her mouth to David were this, "Davy, don't you think that." What, mom? Isn't it amazing sometimes how mom can read minds? She said, "Don't think that." She said, "God does everything good. He does everything well, no matter what. It's in God's plan." He struggled with that. It was a challenge. It was an issue. It was something that pricked his heart. Fast forward about a year, Mom was finally able to come home. She was finally able to come home, and she said, "This isn't what I planned, but the Bible says He does all things well." You know, when life puts a squeeze on us, what do the kids hear us say? What does the neighbors and the family and the friends hear come out of our mouths? Mrs. Gibbs said, "He does all things well." Fast forward about a year, and again she came home, and as a family, they sat around the dinner table. Now understand, when I say she sat, she was in a wheelchair, and she actually had to have a strap about her head because she couldn't hold her own head up. And as they were going around the table and asking for the Lord to do something and asking for the things they wanted God to do, she said this. She said, "Lord, give me something to do." She said, "Lord, you know I'm damaged goods, but I still have breath. Give me something to do for your good and for your glory." Unbeknownst to her, there was a new pastor coming to town. And he had come, and he came just a few days later and sat with the family. You see, unfortunately, their home pastor, the pastor of the church that they had gone to and that the kids had grown up with, the pastor had told them, "We don't want you to come back to the church because people were so afraid of polio." And the pastor said this to Mrs. Gibbs, "You've got to understand something. God's through with you. God's through with you." You don't ever say that to somebody. As long as you have breath, God's not through with you. This young pastor came to the house and he prayed with them. And she said, "Pastor, I'm praying God will use me in something. I'm praying God will give me something to do for His glory." And they sat and they fellowship and they visited. And he said this after he prayed. He said, I'm praying God will do something for you." And after he prayed, he said, "Mrs. Gibbs," he said, "I wonder, in a few weeks, we're going to start this church." He said, "Now, we haven't even started a church. We know where we're going to meet, but it's not started yet. But could you teach Sunday school from your wheelchair? Could you teach the kids?" He said, "Now, understand, we don't have any kids there, but God will provide. Would you be willing to do that?" And she said, "Of course, of course." After they finished up, they had some fellowship and the pastor left, and Mom looked at the family and said, "God answered my prayer. He gave me something to do." When the church started up that first Sunday, she was there in the Sunday school class where there was only two children. They were both hers. But she taught like there was 1,000 kids there. She put all her effort, her heart, everything she had into teaching that class. After about a month of this, where there was just her kids there, she said, "We got to do something different." She said, "We've got to bring in more kids. More people need to hear about Jesus." She said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go up to the bus station." Now, by this time, Davy was old enough to drive. David Gibbs, who we know now, as he's well into his senior years. And she said, "We're going to go up to the bus station and we're going to get a bus." She said, "We're going to get a bus and we're going to go pick up kids and bring them to Sunday school." David said this. He said, "Mom, we have no money." Now understand, back in this time frame, this is before there was government assistance. Their family, while Dad worked very hard, they were bankrupt over and over again trying to pay all of the medical bills, which they did faithfully, but they had no money. She said, "Well, I'm going to ask God in faith to give us a bus." David said, "All right, Mom, whatever you want to do, I'll take you up." A few days later, they went up to town in the bus station, and as David was trying to transfer her from the car to the wheelchair, and remember, she had no ability to do anything herself, but as he was trying to do that, he slipped and he dropped her in the snow. And there he was underneath her and trying to hold her up and trying to help her, and she was in pain. She screamed out in agony, and they're both crying because of what's going on. David loved his mother. He would never do anything to hurt her. And here they are laying in the snow, and he said, "Mom, let's just go home." She said, "No, Davy, no. She said, don't get me up right now. She said, I'll pass out. Let me get okay. When I get okay, you're going to put me in my chair. You're going to wipe my face. You're going to wipe the tears. And we're going to go up and get the bus that God's going to give us. He did just that. Got her up, got her in her chair, wiped her face, got her strapped in so she wouldn't fall, went into the bus company. They go into the bus company, and there's a secretary, a young lady, and she said, how can I help you folks today? And Mrs. Gibbs said this. She said, I'm here for a bus. I need a bus to take the kids to Sunday school. And she said, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to buy one? Do you want to rent one? She says, no, I want you to give us one. The secretary said, well, we've never done it before, but maybe we can. And so she called the vice president and said, hey, there's a lady here who wants a bus to take the kids to Sunday school. And he says, no, we don't do that. We sell them and we rent them. That's all we do. And the secretary said this. She said, listen, I'm not telling this lady no. She's in a wheelchair. If you want to tell her no, you come down and tell her face to face. Right? And so the vice president did. He came down and said, ma'am, we just don't do that. Mrs. Gibbs said, well, I understand, young man. But let me ask you a question. Do you own the buses? That's a good question. No, ma'am, I don't own the buses. The owner owns the buses. Meanwhile, the secretary's there punching buttons. She says, he acts like he owns them, but he doesn't own nothing. I'll call the owner. He'll come down. Right? She called the owner. He came down, the president. The president looked at Mrs. Gibbs and Davy and said, I don't know what to do with you, lady. He said, my office window is right above where you parked. He said, I saw you fall. I saw you weep on the ground in the snow. He said, I've never seen a bus mean so much to somebody. But he said, I'm not going to give you a bus. She said, I understand that, sir. I understand. But understand, if you don't give me a bus, God's going to get awful upset with you. After a few moments of conversation, the president said, you know what, ma'am, here's the deal. I'll give you one bus, one Sunday. But he said, who's going to drive it? She said, oh, yeah, I forgot. I'll need a driver, too. He said, all right, one bus, one Sunday, and that's it. But you make sure God knows I did this. As Davy started wheeling her, she said, wait, son, wait. She said, you know, sir, I really need two. She said, I need one to go to the east side of town and one to go to the west side of town. He said, all right, two buses, two drivers, one Sunday, but that's it. And you be sure God knows I sent them. Long story short, it was two buses, two drivers, one Sunday, because the next Sunday there was three. Within a month or two, there was 10. And within 3 months, there was 55 to 60 buses running that God gave that ministry. The Sunday school with no children never had less than 4,000 to 5,000 kids in it. All because one lady had breath. All because one lady said, God's not finished with me yet. You see, folks, it takes an ask. Do you understand how powerful an ask is with God? Turn to Matthew chapter 17. We say it takes so much, it's overwhelming, we need to do these things. But if we look at the Scripture for what the Scripture says, and we obey it and we do it, folks, it doesn't take much. Matthew in chapter 17 and verse 20. This is a verse we probably all know and probably are all familiar with. It says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. We talked this morning about mountain moving faith. We said you've got to ask and you've got to do it in faith believing. This verse helps us clarify all the more. It says you just have to have enough faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, if you have a piece of jewelry that has a mustard seed on it, understand that's not a seed. That's a kernel. That's the shell. If you take out the shell and you take out the grain is the smallest seed we can see with the human eye. It takes between 17 and 22,000 mustard seeds to weigh 1 ounce. And the Bible tells us, Matthew tells us, it takes but yet the faith of a grain, the smallest thing you can see with the eye, and you'll be able to move mountains. Again, not moving them topography, but rather those insurmountable things in our life. All it takes is a grain. God says one grain is enough. Mrs. Gibbs, as she did, and as I said, she would see 4,000 to 5,000, and all she could do was ask and pray because she still had breath. Every Sunday, she'd have someone push her by the lineup of buses, and there all the drivers would be out there smoking. Right? This was back in the time where everybody smoked pretty much. And she'd say, listen, you put out your cigarettes and you're going to come to church. And they'd say, no, ma'am, we're not. And they said, yes, you are, or else God will get you. And they'd put out their cigarettes and they'd follow her right into church. Folks, within three years' time, every driver in that place was saved. That president was saved. That vice president was saved. That secretary was saved. Why? Because one lady had breath. We talked this morning about prayer lists. What's on your list? What impossible mountain-moving thing is in your life? All you need is a single grain of faith. And faith believing. When Mrs. Gibbs died, the church sent numbers down before the funeral service and said, this is best as we can figure, but because of the bus ministry that God gave you for this one lady, there's over 160 pastors actively preaching in the pulpit today that were saved on your buses. There's over 300 missionaries today in the field that were saved through riding your buses. See, God's looking for somebody who's willing to ask. Somebody who's willing to take him at his word. A single grain of faith. They asked Mom, how'd you do that? She said, I didn't do it. God did it. I just had breath and God did the rest. We've all got things in life that are critical. We've all got things in life that we've got to figure out. No one's the parent they want to be or that they should be. No one's the spouse that they should be. Folks, we all have things that we need to ask God for. We all have things in life that we struggle with or we battle. Are we asking in faith, believing? God wants to answer your prayers. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look very quickly at four pieces that we need to understand because God wants to answer your prayers. But before He will, we have to come with the right heart attitude. We've got to do it in the right way. 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God to Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me read those first words again. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. We tend to have a heart and a life and a mind that when God answers no or God answers slow, that we get upset. And we turn our back to the things of God. We turn our back upon what God has for us. And instead of being thankful, even in the no's, even in the time of slow, instead of that, we turn our back on God. We put Him second fiddle. We don't give Him priority in our life. What are we doing? We're pouting. We're throwing a temper tantrum. Instead, this is the heart attitude we need to have. In everything, give thanks. You know how easy it would have been for Mrs. Gibbs to listen to that home church pastor that said, God's through with you? You know how easy that would have been? And nobody would have condemned her for it. Nobody would have gotten upset with her if she would have just showed up and gone through the motions. Why? Because she's in a wheelchair. She's got polio. She can't do anything but breathe. But it wasn't good enough. She understood this verse. She understood Thessalonians that in everything give thanks. Even when it's not fun, even when it's not comfortable, even when it's not exciting, even when it's not what I want, I need to give thanks. The second piece is this. Start asking in faith, believing. Mark chapter 11, we went through these verses this morning. We're just going to touch on them very quickly. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And it talks again about that mountain moving faith. Hebrews 11:1 describes or defines, if you will, what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, there's things in life we can't see, we can't touch, we can't put a firm grip on. Folks, that's the mountain moving faith opportunities. It's things that we can't do ourselves, but God's already got them done for us. All we have to do is ask. What mountain-moving things do you pray for? I said it this morning, and I want to say it again tonight. The only hope that America has, folks, isn't in the White House, isn't in the State House. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's in Christians praying. If Christians aren't getting on their faces and before God and praying and giving things to Him and asking in faith, believing and asking for those miracle mountain moving moments, we're not going to get anywhere, folks. As a country, we're not going to get anywhere. As a church, we're not going to get anywhere. As a family, as a person, we're not going to get anywhere. I remember growing up, you had people that you knew, and I thank God I still know so many of these today, but you knew people who were prayer warriors, right? Can you think about anyone when you were growing up or as a young adult? Boy, they knew how to get a hold of God, right? If they prayed, man, they were going right to the throne room, weren't they? There was no hesitation, no stumbling. Man, they were going right to the throne and saying, God, we need to talk. Right? I got some mountains that need moved. Folks, I fear today that number is dwindling. I fear today that there's people who aren't taking the time and they're not being obedient to the things of God and they're not bringing before the throne of grace. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for ourselves. We need to be praying for our families, for our church families, for our missions. Folks, we need to be a praying people. Why? Because prayer moves the arm of the Almighty. Prayer moves the arm of the Almighty. Turn to one more scripture tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We started out talking about faith, whether it's a real faith or a fake faith. And you say, well, what's that matter, Pastor? Hey, it matters very much. Now, we have the kids with us tonight. Next week, they're going to be downstairs with the teens. And so I have a little thing here to kind of help us, a little visual illustration we'll look at in just a moment. But 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, look at verse 5 with me. It says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Those first few words, it says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. We need to examine ourselves. We need to challenge ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, do we have a real faith or is it fake faith? Why? It matters. There's things in life. There's so much in our world today that's fake. Now, I've got a visual up here, and I think I might have forgotten to get one with a VBS meeting. Yeah, I did. That's okay. But I've got a couple different visuals up here. Now, kids, I want you to be able to see this, okay? Now, the first thing I have is I have a bowl of salt, and then I have a bowl of fake salt. You know what fake salt is? Anyone know what it is? Adults, kids? It's the healthy salt. If you have high blood pressure, it's the stuff that they tell you to eat. It's called new salt or a salt substitute. All right? Any adults have to take that? Any adults supposed to take that or use that instead? You're not going to admit it. That's fine. All right. So I know you guys are far away. And let me get one. Timmy, you want to come up here real quick? All right. I knew he would. Timmy. All right. Come here and look at this. Don't look at that yet. Look right here. All right. Can you tell by looking at this which one is real or which one is fake?
Oh, yeah.
Which?
let me guess. This one's fake.
This one's fake? You want to taste it and find out? No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. No. Not till later. All right, go ahead and sit down. Anybody else want to guess? Real or fake? Andrew, come up real quick. Come on, man. It's the one time you can run in church. I won't yell, I promise. All right. So Timmy thought this one was fake. What do you think? Which one's fake? Which one's real? Well, fake or real? Fake? All right. Here, open your mouth. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Go ahead and sit down. All right. So you guys could guess from way back there. How many think this is real? Anyone want to guess? You have no clue. I know. No, this is the fake. This isn't real. Now, you might taste it, and it might even taste a little bit like salt or something like it. It's a substitute. But it's fake salt. Now, I was going to do one with butter, but I forgot butter, so we won't do that. All right? But we will do... I got some butter on my apple. All right. But we will do this. One of these is a real apple, and one of these is a fake apple. Now, you guys can see this a little bit, right? Anybody have any guesses? How many think this is... Ames, what do you think? You're right or my right? You're right. This one? You think this one's fake? Or this one? This one. You think this one's fake? Okay. Anyone else want to guess? Adele. That one? Real or fake? All right. You guys can see this. If you think this is the fake apple, raise your hand. If you think this is the fake apple, raise your hand. Most of you are right. This is the fake apple. All right? You say, what's it matter, Pastor? Why are you doing this? Well, I think sometimes we do visuals. It helps us understand, especially kids. You see, you could take these, and for the most part, now, if I didn't have a real one up here, and I just said, this is an apple, you'd probably say, okay, it's an apple. Right? But because I told you there was a fake one, you guessed correctly. And that's fine. That's good. But you see, there's a lot of things in our world, in our lives, that are fake. And you can take this apple and you can say, boy, that looks like a good apple. And you know the moment you're going to know for sure it's not a real apple? You take a bite. Right? If I tried to say, here, you come up and you take a bite of this, you're going to know real quick it's a fake apple. You see, the outside looks good, doesn't it? It's shiny. It's red. I don't know how you could tell it was a fake, but anyway, it's a fake. But the inside is different. The inside isn't a real apple. It's not juicy. It's not sweet. It's not edible. It's not good for us. Folks, faith is the same. Some people today are battling real faith versus fake faith. They put the facade on the outside. They look good. They play church. They do things and say things. They know the vernacular of what needs to be done. But when it comes down to it, when it comes down time to ask God for some mountain moving things, they don't even have a grain. Why? Because their hearts and their lives aren't where it needs to be. Why? Because they're not spending time in the Word. If you want to grow your faith, remember we talked about this morning, if you want to grow your faith, what's the Bible say to do? Be in the Word. Do I need to re-preach that one? No, I won't. We need to be in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Folks, we need to be in the Word. We don't need to be in the Word. We don't need to read through the Bible in a year or a week or a day or a month to check a box. That's not it. We need to be in the Word because we need it to grow our faith. We need it so that we have a genuine and a real and a strong and a passionate faith for the things of God. Why? We have more than breath. We have more ability than what Mrs. Gibbs could ever have imagined in the latter part of her life. And yet we're not using it. We're not focusing and putting it towards what God wants us to do. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. We got to examine our hearts and lives, folks. We've got to say, do I have a real faith? Do I have a passionate faith? Do I have a love for God that extends beyond all measure? It's important. There's a lot of fake in the world today. We don't need fakes in the world of our Christian world, of our church. We need to be genuine. We need to be real. We need to have the faith that moves mountains. And remember, it only takes a single grain. It just takes us still having breath in our lungs. As long as you have breath, as long as you have blood pumping through your veins, God's not done. He's not done. The mountain moving thing I hope and I pray that we all pray for is this. God, what mountains need moved in my heart and my life? Help me, Lord, to have the faith that I need, to grow my faith. How's your faith? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for being in your house tonight. Lord, I thank you again for the privilege of being here, of preaching, of sharing your word. Lord, I pray now that you would just help us challenge our hearts and lives in just a mighty way. Lord, may we have the faith, the simple grain of a mustard seed, to move the mountains. It's not that we can do it. We know that. It's not through us. It's because of our faith and our love for you. Lord, I believe there's some here tonight that are struggling. They're battling something in their life. I don't know what it is, but you do. They do. They're struggling with something with faith or a relationship, or there's some mountain in their life. Lord, I pray that you would convict their heart, their soul, their spirit right now. Lord, before they leave this place, that they would make it right with you, whatever that is. It doesn't mean that they're sin or wrong, but Lord, there's just something there.